Anyway, it's my pleasure that I want to introduce Steve Lamont, our principal. Most of you would know him, but he's just going to share a small part and then lead into some testimonies followed by Devin Wynn. So thank you, Steve.
Thank you, Kyla. Good morning, everyone. Good morning, Mr. Lamont. Thank you. Sit up as well. Pay attention. It's great to see so many people here. A lot of you already know, but if you don't know me, I'm Steve Lamont. I'm the principal of the school. Been in that role for, this is the end of my ninth year in that role and 4 years as deputy before that. And I started as a relief teacher. Worked my way to the top. It was a dogfight, but I got there in the end. So, well, I can just testify to what Kyla said this morning. It's great to obviously hear those stories as well. But, you know, God does so many miracles. Sometimes the big ones like you hear there and sometimes the smallest of miracles in our hearts. A change of a heart is a miracle as well. Faith itself is a miracle in itself as well. So you're going to hear some testimonies this morning. As Kyla mentioned, we're going to break it up a little. We're going to have some testimonies at the beginning from some students and from one of our teachers, Eva Muhlenberg, as well. So I might ask them to come up now, our students to come up here, and for Eva to come up as well. Okay, and I'll introduce everyone here, but basically what you're going to hear this morning, we do something similar for the high school on a Friday morning in chapel. We often have children testifying. This is for students to share what God's doing in their life, because God is doing wonderful things in the life of our students. We're going to be speaking on leadership today, Devin and myself, but this is within the context of what is Romans chapter 12, and Romans is just so huge, the actual whole concepts that Paul is dealing with and the whole wonderful things that he talks about. But one of them is this very simple concept that we are one body in Christ. Amen? With many members. And these are some of our members of the body of Christ. These are our students, but they're believers in Jesus. So each of them have prepared a little testimony. And Eva's going to talk a little bit about how teachers lead in that space, but also what God's doing in her life, I guess, as a teacher. So I'll hand over to first Jeremiah, whom I introduced. We have Gisette over here. And we have Janelle over here at the end, and we have Eva Muhlenberg here. So I'm going to introduce Jeremiah. How about a round of applause for them at least to welcome her? Wow, it's wonderful. It's wonderful to be able to hear stories when you're just sitting back, because everyone imagines leadership is what we're talking about this morning in terms of the context of a biblical perspective. I'm the principal, I'm the only leader. It is absolutely false. Leadership is at many levels: student, teacher, parents, within this church itself. God has put us in place. If we're in a position of leadership at all, of influence, then God calls us to lead well and to lead for the kingdom's purposes. But I'm absolutely astounded by what staff and students say to me on a day-to-day basis as far as it's edifying. Sometimes, you might have seen it if you're a parent and you see a child do something in their life and it's something significant and you're almost brought to tears, really, because of that development. And I see that all the time in the people around me. This morning when I was singing worship, I'm standing next to Darcy. I hope I don't embarrass Darcy, but he's singing beautifully. He was year 12, from kindergarten to year 12, right next to me worshiping. And I did find it very difficult to come up here this morning, not so much that I didn't want to. I was just such in the worship space. Then you say, right, Steve, you now got to concentrate. You've got to bring it back. And now I felt a sense of God, this multitude. I had a picture of heaven. But it was Christ lifted up, and there was the whole throngs of eternity in front of him. There's the multitude of people who call Jesus Lord will be there together. Students, staff, yes, the broader body of the church. And I was just astounded. But I'd like to thank my staff and students for being so courageous, but also sharing from the heart. Would you give them one last clap? Thank you very much. Eva, if you drop that back there. Thank you, Jeremiah. Thank you, Jet. Thanks, Janelle. Okay, try to get back to some semblance of what I've got to say this morning as well. So basically, Devin and I are going to break this in half this morning. And we're going to pick up on a passage, and I'm going to see, hopefully, that my little clicker, which I bought, is going to work. Also, a big shout out for Simon at the back, who's another former student of mine going back years, or the school's, and he's doing a great job at the back of it, getting the slides ready. So we really are running the show this morning. Hillside, Christian College running the show this morning here. So, you know, come on, do something out there. I mean, not quite working. Okay, we have to slide across, Simon. I don't think mine's working. So, yeah, there we go. Let's start with what we should start, and that's starting in God's Word. We've worshipped. Now, let's look at God's Word closely this morning. So I'm going to read out here from Romans chapter 12. I'm going to read between verses 3 and 8, picking up on the part obviously that talks about leadership. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the many members do not have all the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. The one who contributes in generosity. The one who leads with zeal. The one who leads with zeal. The one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. Let us pray a blessing on God's word as we open it up this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Your word is truth. We ask that your Holy Spirit, Father, would open up something new in this for us this morning, Lord. But Father, please drive home to us the truth of your word, because your word is sacred, and we thank you for it this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so as I mentioned before, we're talking about Romans here, and it has been said that in terms of Romans itself, the whole book, there have some pastors that have preached for a whole year just on Romans alone. There's just so much in there. It's Paul's, what would you say, theological masterpiece that tells us about how this thing called the church, which we're in, the believers of Christ, how we all come together and made right in Christ. And he picks up on a series of things here in chapter 12, which he talks about, and that is, what do we do in terms of our role within the function of the church? Or what do we do with the gifts and talents that God gives us? So I think I spoke here once going back a few years, and I spoke on spiritual gifts. And when I was doing my, study, it amazed me that there's actually 21 spiritual gifts listed. That's if you actually articulate them from Scripture. We come back here and we find that leadership is at the heart of one of these gifts. Leadership is vitally important. And so this morning, what I want to do is just take you through the school a little bit and show you how, the school has many members who are all part of the body of Christ. And then I want to dig down into what the Scriptures are saying about leadership. So if we go to the next slide, I'm just going to go rifle through these pretty quickly, but photos tell 1,000 words. So our ministry at Hillside at the school is to take a little precious children here and to present the gospel and to help them in their education, so that one day they'll be equipped for life. And it's the purpose of our education to look at the end point. We call it in the Greek, it's telos. What is the purpose of life, if you like? The purpose of life is to know Jesus Christ. So if a child goes through education and doesn't come out with that understanding, or isn't even presented with that, then in some way it's not education. It is something else. So at Hillside, I guess what we're doing with our students primarily is to present Jesus within the context of education. So we have a high school, as you can see, we'll just go through them. There's no real rhyme or order here. They go through the high school, you'll see things like manual arts and the general things that you see. If we go to the next one, Simon, we see here, the point I wanted to make with some of these is you'll notice there's staff and there's students, but I want to also pick up on the idea of influence in terms of leadership. So think of the word influence when you think about leadership. Does the gardener have an influence? Does the outdoor ed teacher have an influence when they're sailing? When we have a Mother's Day evening? When we have a Father's Day breakfast? By the way, most important day of the year, Father's Day. Let's pick up on that. Excellent. Our chaplains. This year we went to 4 chaplains. Next year we have 420 kids, 4 chaplains. One of the best moves I've ever made is doubling the chaplaincy. Slam poetry, telling social justice messages, which basically come from the gospel. Just having fun. Looking after, sustainability. Showing what you can do in life. Showing your talents. Exercising them. Just hanging out with your mates. It's one of the good things about church, isn't it? We hang out with our mates. Our open day. Community, another priority at the school. Parents on a stall helping out at community. Our chapel service, what you heard this morning, you see every Friday here. You see it in the assemblies in the primary school. Here you see Steve Williams here. I think Steve's here. I saw him this morning. And we have one of our parents, David Francis. He's just recently ridden across Australia on Compassion. Joining the church proper. Hillside isn't an island. God's church is worldwide. It's universal, actually. So we connect in with people who are like-minded, with compassion. It's just plain fun. Our kids have... There's nothing more enjoyable than seeing children grow up well. And just a couple of pictures to finish out that you'll see. And just you'll see pure joy in the eyes of children here. But I can tell you, there's some ups and downs in every child's life and every staff member's life. It's not all skittles, if you like, all the time for people. Life can throw you some curveballs as well. And I guess what we're doing is we're just living life together with our students. So hopefully that gives you a bit of a picture there. And we return back to our scripture if we can. You'll see down the bottom, I've just highlighted our verses there. The one who leads with zeal. And I think probably Devin will pick up more of this. He might break this down a little bit further than what I do. So I'll just go to the next slide and just, I'll read from the Amplified if I can. So just duck along the next one, Simon. That's it. So the Amplified says, he who gives aid and superintends with zeal and singleness of mind. And I've just paraphrased at the bottom. A leader takes the lead with earnestness. They take it seriously. So if you're called to leadership, if you're called to lead, and all of us are called in some capacity, but perhaps in the context of the church, if you have a role here, if you have a role in business, or if you have a role somewhere where God has called you to, then it's your responsibility under God to take that seriously and to approach it in such a way. And if I go across to the next slide, I just want to look at this here too. There's some broader definitions of leadership that I think are helpful. If you look at any sort of management or any sort of leadership literature in the world, you'll basically come out with a word that's very strongly correlated to leadership, and that is influence, as I mentioned. A leader has the power to influence. Now, sometimes, take my role, for example, in the school, I have tremendous capacity to influence the, you know, 70 to 80 people who work under me as staff. Then you have students and families. But one student within one classroom can also have a big influence on the class. Our chaplains have a massive influence. Our teachers have a massive influence. And wherever you're placed, for God's purposes, you have the ability to influence others in that role. So let's have a quick read of these ones here. The ability of an individual to influence, motivate, and enable others to contribute towards the effectiveness and success of the organisations which they are members. So a person or persons can motivate, they can enable, and they can help contribute towards the goal. Leadership, therefore, in the Christian context, is a process of drawing people together to influence and lead them in a certain direction to accomplish a particular task. And our task at the school is for our students to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Everything must lead to that point. Now, that's not an exact science, because God doesn't have grandchildren, number one. Number two, we don't make the relationship, God does. So we can present Jesus, but ultimately we come to the throne of grace ourselves. Each person, whether they're two or they're 82. But the environment's critical and the purpose is critical. So this morning I thought, well, I haven't got a lot of time. Devin and I are breaking it up. So I'm just going to briefly go through three things that I'd like to leave you in my experience and in terms of how I read scripture in this case. Three things that I've found that to be necessary, or three musts. What are the three musts I'll leave you with this morning for leadership? If you're in a position of leadership, for our leaders here, wherever God's placed you, we have three musts. The first one, leadership must have a purpose. Leadership must have a purpose. Without purpose, there is no direction. With no direction, there is no leadership. So why are you leading is the first question you should ask yourself. What am I leading? All the question words. What am I leading? Where am I going? Whom am I leading? And you get the picture. And where do you find that purpose? So you're appointed to a role here at the church, let's say, for instance. Maybe it's children's ministry. Maybe it's music. What is the purpose of what you're doing. And that should always come back to the greater purposes that God has for us. And he tells us in Scripture some basic directions for us and some core principles of where we're going. What's our mission? So we look in Matthew 28, the great commission. What God's calling every believer to in whatever work you do for the purposes of God, it comes back to this. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth is given to me. Go therefore." And when you come to therefore, find out why. It's therefore. Okay, it's important. Okay, so go therefore, this is important, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, I'm with you to the end of the age. So we have a purpose, a core purpose already. If you're not sure of a purpose, start there. There's your purpose. Then we might go along a little bit further and slide along and say, well, let's have a look at a couple of ways that purpose can be broken down. Because sometimes we need to be more specific about what we're doing. So we go to the next slide. Have a look here. This is the example of our school's vision and mission. Our vision and mission is very clear. Okay, so our vision is aligned with the church's vision. That's positive transformation in Jesus' name. In our case, it's in the context of the school. Okay, in education, in our school. And our mission is to provide a quality Christian education, basically. So that when staff, when families, when students themselves have any question as to what is the core purposes of what we're doing, we come back to those purposes. So number one, that point. Leadership, if you're leading, therefore, it must be directed towards a purpose. So I would ask you the question, what is your mission? And for me personally, I find more and more, and what I'm doing more and more now in terms of the school is I bang on about mission until people are sick of it nearly. What is our purpose? Because we wander, we drift, we forget. And we put ourselves in the picture so much of the time rather than making sure God's purposes are fulfilled. So break it down to the church. Here at Hillside, the mission is outworked with three main areas, faith, hope and love. I've always found it's a beautiful mission that you have here at the church when I read through it. I just find it's a work of the Holy Spirit. Faith, hope and love. Can there be greater aspirations than faith, hope and love? So you say the greatest of these is love. That's enough to keep us busy for life, is it not? But what might we put in the world, you know? Affluence, self. We've got a beautiful message to tell. That's our mission. So if you're looking for what do I do when I come through the door, what does the church require of me? If you're leading, lead according to the mission. It's the best place to start. So let's come to our second point. Okay, the first one is leaders must have a purpose. The second one, this is the most sorely missing point, perhaps today. Leaders must lead. If you've ever led a team and you come to a point of vacillation, in other words, you're stuck, literally stuck on the spot going around in circles, it's usually because of lack of leadership. Okay, if you're in a position of leadership, you need to lead. It sounds so basic, doesn't it? Now, let me tell you a story. It was back in my career. I've been 30 years doing what I'm doing now. Going back many years, I worked with a person in senior leadership who was promoted during the time where it was more positive action type promotions, let's just say. It's not so much the case now at all, but the person was in a position, and to be honest, if I look back in time, it was sort of part of a program rather than merit, if that makes sense, or talent. They led a staff, which I was part of, and it was constantly beset by conflict, constantly beset by people usurping the authority, constantly beset by not achieving what it could achieve. And if I think back and I reflect on it, it was basically because the leader was a weak leader. So in other words, they had a role, they had a position, but it wasn't actually fulfilled within that person. So what actually happened was other people filled that role. So if you don't lead, the second point under this is someone else will. And I think for us in the church today, why I believe we're lacking so much leadership is you actually look at what's actually happened to the position of, say, faith in the community we're seeing at the moment. The secular has fulfilled the sacred. Basically, it's taken ground, if you like. If we don't lead, then somebody else will lead. Education might be an example of that. Why aren't Christian schools in the majority? Why did we start in 1977? Why didn't we start in 1829? You know, these are the questions we need to ask ourselves. Well, I think it comes back to leadership and passion. If you know what your purpose is, number one, know what your purpose is. Two, if you're in a position to lead, you lead. So it's a really vital point that you actually lead. And if we look here too, we know through Scripture that this is true. And it's more implied, but woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, declares the Lord in Jeremiah 23. Right back 3,000 years ago, the beginning of Proverbs. My son, when sinners entice you, do not give in to them. Entice being influence, right? Someone's leading, someone's following. So whatever you're in, we need to recognize that we may be leading, yes, but somebody else will be trying to lead too, with a complete antithesis of what God has in store for them. So in other words, we see that within our spiritual domain so many times. But there are leaders out there who would lead the wrong way. So I would really say, if I leave nothing else with this morning, please accept the mantle of leadership if it's yours. Okay, and the third point, leaders must lead well. As we mentioned from the last scripture, if they don't lead well, you'll see the effects of it. I need only go through names like Hitler, Pol Pot, Stalin, Mao Zedong, Henry VIII. What do you think about those leaders? Pretty poor, and they're in the secular. But likewise, within the context of the body of believers, how much better should we lead within the church? We've got the best message. The Holy Spirit is with us. Then we must lead well. And I'm convinced that what you saw this morning, but also within a Christian school context, that leadership is vital for our children. The children are led correctly. They're led towards the gospel, not away from the gospel. And that's a really important principle. I'll just leave you with this scripture. But Jesus called them to him and said, "You know that rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their greatest ones exercise authority over them. It shall not be so among you." And that's to us, right? "But whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be your slave. Even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." That is the opposite of leadership from a world sense. It's servant leadership. It's selfless leadership. It's leaders who actually want the best for the people they are leading. Amen? Okay. And that should be a prayer for each of us, no matter what capacity you're in. Parents, if you have a leadership capacity at home, if you're a teacher, if you're a business leader, if you manage people, you can show God's love wherever you are, but particularly in the church. Paul is outlining this for us very clearly in Romans. Okay, I think I've just reached my time, so I might ask Devon to come up, if I can, and I'm just going to pray, or maybe Devon will pray for me. He's a great prayer.
That was the plan as well.
So I might hand over to Devon.
Thank you, Steve. And Steve is a beautiful, wonderful example of a servant leader. And we're so blessed to have him leading and guiding the school. But it is just a testimony of the body of Christ. You know, none of us are here by accident. I've talked about this before. You know, we all have a role to play. And it was beautiful to hear from the students. And they are salt and light. So I just want to encourage you. Thank you for sharing with us as a church. It encourages us all because we're all part of the same body here at Hillside and part of the, you know, God's church globally. So I do want to pray for Steve, and thank you, Steve. And you know me, and you've heard from Steve now, we're chalk and cheese, but we complement one another, and I think God has done that. So Lord, I thank you for Steve. I thank you for his passion for you, his love for you, and his desire to just see your kingdom come in all that he does. Lord, I pray that you'll continue to help him to serve with humility and strengthen him with wisdom. Lord, I know the Holy Spirit is strongly working in Steve as he develops and grows. And Lord, I just pray for him. I pray for Rebecca and their marriage, for their family. Continue to bless them, Lord, as they as they encourage and lead well. So I just thank you for Steve and bless him in Jesus' name. Amen. Take this one. I like this one better. All right. Hi, everybody. If you don't know me, I'm Devin. I've been a member of this church for close to 17 years, and I've been very blessed over the time. God has used me in many, many ways. It's very humbling to see what God does, but it's, I suppose, a testimony, and my testimony is that if you are obedient, God will use you. You just have to be willing and open to let him work. So hopefully there won't be too much duplication. Steve said we sort of planned this, but it was probably about a 2 or 3 minute planning session. So, but God is good, and he will bring it all together because he does that. So I just wanted to, and Steve's already shared, really this is not just about teaching about leadership, and we've been speaking on these things for a long time. We've been teaching on the gifts, and really what I want to encourage all of us is just not about leadership. This is about all the gifts and that we can tap into, and like Steve said, there's many, many, what was it, over 20, 21 different giftings that we need to build the body. And we're just touching on some of those. And if we want to grow as a church, we need to just realize that God has given many, many gifts, and we just need to identify them in ourselves and in others. And we're pursuing unity as a body and unity as a church. And I think this is in line, and Steve's talking about building the body of Christ. And on Friday, the primary school had a play, and it was beautiful, and it was Circus Fantastique, but the theme of the play was really, it came down to basically, trust God and allow him to use those gifts that he's given you to serve others. So don't be put in a box. Just if you have talents and abilities, God wants you to use those things. So it's just beautiful to see this message is just, it's not random and it's not planned. God is doing something in Hillside and beyond. He's teaching us something. So, you're a legend, Jackie. Thank you so much. Okay. So, Simon, do you want to kick up my slides, please, mate? Probably get on to the next one. I can look up there, can't I? Thanks, Das. Okay, so I want to just read from Ephesians, and I'm going to read out of the Amplified, and this is just a little bit about the body of Christ. And his gifts to the church were varied, and he himself appointed some as apostles, special messengers, representatives, some as prophets who speak a new message from God to the people, some as evangelists who spread the good news of salvation, and some as pastors and teachers to shepherd and guide and instruct. And he did this to fully equip and perfect the saints, God's people, for works of service, to build up the body of Christ, the church, until we all reach oneness in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, growing spiritually to become a mature believer, reaching to the measure of the fullness of Christ, manifesting his spiritual completeness and exercising our spiritual gifts in unity. So it's not just about those couple of gifts that I mentioned, it's all the gifts. So Steve already did the introduction scripture, but we can put that one up again. And I just wanted to, I suppose I highlighted, now did I highlight or did I take it out? Oh, I think I took it out because it was a bit too bossy. So, but for me, when I read this, it's for the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function. So that bit for me, and I have to check myself and I make sure that I'm humble, because God has blessed me with some of the things that he's put me into places in my work and within church here. And I don't want that to go to my head. And I just want to make sure that I remain humble. And I think that's the position we all need to take, because it's easy to let things go crazy and you lose control. So I don't know if I need to read any more of that. But basically, yeah, if it's to lead, do it diligently. And Steve's shared and touched on that. So I'll just go to our section. So Romans 12:8, in the NLT Bible, it says, if God has given you a leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And so Steve touched on that. In the ESV, it says, one who leads with zeal. So really, it's just saying, yeah, lead well, lead well. So all of these gifts are not given to glorify ourselves, but to show the greatness of God in us. All, you know, we are all called, we're not called to be impressive, but to point to the one who is impressive, and that's Jesus. And he's really the only one. He is all glory to him, because I'm not here because of me. I'm only here because of him and what he's doing in us. And it's only possible through Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, his death and his resurrection, so that we could have life. And then the gifts given by the power of the Holy Spirit in us and through us. So in John 14, verse 12, very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me, I will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. So I believe that the gifts that the Holy Spirit has given will allow us to operate as Jesus did. And I think that's what he wants for us, to build the church. So leadership is a gift. The gift of leadership can also be seen as organizing and also administration. Leadership is different in the church than in the business world. We don't need managers like we do in a secular world. The body of Christ is not a business. So it's a requirement of biblical leadership that love be placed at the center of the leader's appointed role. Love for one another is how teams bond together in true unity. You need unity to move forward to achieve God's purposes. And that's what I believe at the moment within the school. We've been praying for years and years, and we have a real sense of the Holy Spirit. We have a sense that God is moving and that there is a real unity. And Eva shared that as well. And within the teachers and the students, it's just such a blessing. And it was just, yeah, really great that we had the opportunity to hear from the students. That was so good. So thank you, Steve, for doing that. So there's just a few things here about identifying leadership gifts. So this is just to sort of, I suppose, in us all, we all do lead in different ways. So I just thought I'd like to identify some of those. So there's servants, number one, like Jesus. Everything he did was to serve God the Father. They're stewards. They also organize and administer God's work. And that was like Nehemiah. He was planning and rebuilding the wall around Jerusalem. We have coordinating. So even in chaos, they find solutions. So you'll see leaders, when everybody else is going into a meltdown, the leader steps up and they take charge. They also pay close attention to important details. They don't necessarily micromanage, but they stay on top of things. They know what's going on. They're committed, and they're stick-to-it kind of person. So, like Daniel, he stayed true to his purpose. He trusted God through all of the trials that he was put under. They also have an eye for excellence, the ability to see the big picture. And a good example, at Hillside and with the school, Pastor Fred Anderson was given a vision for the church, and for the school, and and his legacy lives on, and that was just because it was from God, and God has blessed the work of everybody's hands in the school and the church. Working behind the scenes so that everybody just basically sees things working well and everything happens. And I was thinking about that as well. And people in the school know Jim Sokos. He's the business manager at the school, and he's that kind of leader. He just gets things done. And we're very blessed to have him as well as part of the school. And they're also good planners, and they operate with lots of to-do lists, and they might even have a to-do list telling them to do the to-dos. So, administrative as well, providing guidance and direction to getting things done, and that's part of my my strength. And they also work well with people, putting people first, caring, loving, and shepherding. And Pastor Kerry is a great example of this as well. Just that that heart for people. And that's what good leaders need to be. They need to love their team and share that love. So there really is a need for servant leadership and oversight in the church today. So there's a little bit about recognizing and using our gifts. So every member of the body of Christ is given gifts in God's timing. So it says in James chapter 1, verse 17, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. So we're meant to desire the gifts, but we need to remember that God decides when and what gifts he'll give us. We just have to be willing to be used, however that looks, and obedient to use the gift. We just have to trust God. His ways are perfect. So we start out with a small faith, and then as we grow and believe and step out, the Lord will continue to use us and grow that in us. So I just wanted to share a bit about, I suppose, my journey. Like Steve said, I've been at the school. Darcy was in 5 when he started there. And so in 2006, I think that was. And then a few years after we'd been at the school, I met someone who was on the school board. So I just thought, and that was good. I didn't realise they had a board. And then a few years later, something dropped in my mind just about, I think it was just a thought like, oh, maybe one day you might be able to do something like that. And I think that was only from the Holy Spirit, because I'm not that kind of person who really, I didn't understand what that would be. But then about in 2010, I was asked to join the school board. So it wasn't a big decision. I just said yes. I just felt that was what God was calling me into, and I really had no idea what I was getting myself into. And then about 6 years went along. I was on the board just doing what we do, having Subway and listening to business and things like that. And I got a phone call that I'd been dreading, which was from the current chairman of the board, just saying that he was going to resign and that I was the next in line. And I'd been in denial up until that point, because that was something I just didn't want to do. I feared that position, because it would mean that I had to stand here and talk to people about, it's just about to start. I've got about, over the next 2 weeks, there's about 4 or 5 nights where I have to speak to the whole school. So I was terrorized by the thought, and I'm thinking, no, don't resign. But it was all about me, totally selfish, all about me. But after that phone call, I just knew that that was what I was meant to do, because they needed a leader. So I just stepped up, and I thought, okay, Lord, this is you. I can't do this. And so I just really feel blessed to be a part of what he is doing. And as the years go on, I get more and more blessed by what is happening. And I see lives changed, and I see the transformation that's happening in the school, and it's just so good. So it's just God's way. He's molding us, shaping us, developing us, and we just have to be willing to step out. Sometimes it's scary, but God is good. He's faithful. He is a good father, and he won't do anything that that will hurt us. Okay, so using our gifts, so we just need to be willing to be used by God. All experiences are an opportunity to learn and to grow if required. And if needed, yeah, the Holy Spirit, he will equip us. You know, if you step into something that you know is from the Lord, he'll make a way. He will give you the gifts. He'll give you the skills to do that. And if it's not meant to be you, you won't be called into that. And then we need to serve each other with humility and with love. And Romans 12:3 says, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment. And then I just wanted to talk about this parable about the bag of gold or the talents. And so it was just out of Matthew 25, verses 14 to 30. I'm not going to read it all. But a man went on a journey, and he called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. So he gave his servants some of his wealth, and that's apparently a talent is around about 33 kilograms of gold. So it's a lot of wealth. And so he divided that. So one of them he gave 5 bags, one he gave 2, another he gave 1 bag. The master went away, and then when he returned, 2 of the servants had done something with it. They'd doubled what he had given them. They'd invested and worked and used their gifts, and they had grown and prospered in that. But they were rewarded for that. They were, you know, good and faithful, he called them. The master rewarded them and called them good and faithful servants. Then the servant who was given the one, he was lazy. And then he used the master as an excuse for his laziness. But he was banished and thrown into the darkness, into hell. So in all this, you know, the master is Jesus. The servants are all people. The gold is the resources, the gifts and talents that God gives us. We're all called to use them and to build up God's kingdom. So he doesn't give all the talents evenly to people. Some will receive more than others and differently. And that's one thing we've got to be careful, you know. Sometimes we look at somebody else and we say, oh, what about them, you know. And I'm guilty of that. You compare yourself to other people and you feel like, oh, I couldn't do that. You know, following Steve, he's a fantastic teacher, you know. But I've got to just think, you know, it's not. I've got something else to offer. So we've just got to, you know, we have to just let go. Let God and be ourselves. So his kingdom's better when we share and use our gifts and talents. And the world needs each and every one of us. And the way God uses us. And we're called to use our gifts and abilities to build up the body of Christ. And God expects us to use the gifts given. And the parable really gives us an example of his response to those who use them, and then also to the ones who don't use them out of fear. So don't respond out of fear, but by faith, step out and take action and use the gifts that God has given. So be bold and ask God to use you. And that's that crazy prayer that you pray. And I think I did it probably, I think I remember it was probably about 2003. When I just let go and I said, okay, Lord, use me. You know, I want to be a vessel for you. Just use me. And it is scary. It's a scary prayer because he does. And he wants you to be ready to step up and take action. So really, just in closing, I just really want to thank everybody who serves. And today is also, there's going to be some lunch provided, some sausage and things like that. Today's really just to thank everybody who does so much in the church, in the school, in Woolridge, across the whole of Hillside. There's volunteers, there's staff, there's so many people who are just doing so many things, and we all are playing our part. So I just wanted to thank you on behalf of the church, and that's what today is about. It's giving thanks. We give thanks to God first and foremost because he's brought us all here. And well, we just want to thank you all as well for everything that you're doing and are going to do, because I believe God's taking us into a new place where we're going to see the kingdom explode, and we just want to see his kingdom come. So I'll just share this last scripture with you. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. So, Lord, we do pray. We praise you and we give you all the glory because you loved us first. And that perfect love set us free from sin and death. Your death on a cross, your resurrection power. Lord, we are in awe of you and your goodness. So, Lord, I praise you. Lord, I pray a blessing over every single person here and their families and beyond. Lord, we pray for the school. We pray for the students. And we just thank you for revival. We thank you for Woolridge. We thank you for revival in that place too, Lord. Hallelujah. And we give you all the praise and thanks for everything that you are doing. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.